I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
And I'm representing the Parton and Owens family today, announcing the passing of my Aunt Dolly, Rebecca Parton Dean. Sister, sis, Aunt Granny to one generation, and Gigi to the next.
Yeah, that is the nephew there, Dolly Parton, and announcing her death yesterday. Very sad day for a lot of Americans. Whether they ever met her, they knew some of her songs, right? Whether they heard her sing them or not, I can't imagine anybody who didn't. But there may be some in the younger generation who were unfamiliar with it. Certainly, the soundtrack for a lot of people for their lives who remember the movies and the songs, and a very sad day. So the flags are going to be at half staff. If you missed that earlier, the president has declared that, and we will notice that, I'm sure, starting today. Hey, by the way, if you're just joining us, last hour we were talking during In Other News about people having issues with what folks do on airplanes. And Ethan, I don't know if you saw this comment on the text line. Ethan's pet peeve is when the plane gets parked and everybody stands up and start trying to force their way down the aisle and get to their luggage, and you know it's 15 more minutes before you're ever going to get off the plane. Why do people do that? Cindy wrote in and said she was en route when she heard the discussion, had to get on here and comment. She stands up because she has restless leg syndrome, or has restless legs, and has to stand up to stretch her legs the minute she gets up.
I'm fine with standing up. I just don't want you pushing way like you think you're going to get out in front of me.
Because you're not.
Because
Ethan is a big guy, and he's just going to block you. Yeah. He's going to stand in the aisle and keep that from happening.
Stretch a little.
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of how that goes. So anyway, that's a part of our conversation in other news. The story was, the survey said people were most irritated by people who took conference calls while they were on an airplane, I guess via Zoom or whatever, if they had Wi-Fi. That could be irritating if you were next to that individual and you were maybe trying to sleep or read your book.
I've never had it
happen.
They
want a band. No. But I don't know that they're going to be able to do that. We'll see. Anyway, it's the 26th day of the month. We're happy you're with us. Kim St. Ange is off again, a little under the weather for the third day in a row, and hoping she feels better soon. This thing has sidelined her for sure, and maybe we will get her back in here yesterday. She was doing some work from her bed yesterday trying to get over this. It kind of took the wind out of her, I think, and we'll get more details when she gets back, just so you know. Text line is open this morning at 314-241-9797. We've gotten a few comments on there this morning, a lot more on the social media page regarding Dolly Parton and some of the other news of the day that we've been covering, including I heard somebody describe it as sort of an anaconda restriction that they put on Iran. Hadn't heard it put that way quite, but I did understand that they're now having to ration food and other things in Iran because of the economic sanctions, and the continued blockade has just shut them down. And now, you know, some of their political allies in the region have also started shunning them. I saw where the UAE was going to quit cooperating with them as well, and that has also helped. So it's pretty clearly an effective strategy. Can they hold out until the midterms, when they hope that Democrats get elected who will save them? Imagine that. Imagine being part of a party that is being aided in getting back into power by a foreign enemy who's hoping you'll help them. Because if you listen to Chris Van Hollen and some of these other Democrats who have been filling the airwaves the last few days, that's basically what they're telling you. That if they get reelected, they're going to impose the War Powers Act, and they're going to stop this and they're going to stop that. And in my opinion, they just have no ability to look at the bigger picture and see how the world is improving with a destructured Iran. What a difference this is going to make in the world. What a difference it's going to make in how we ship and receive energy around the world, how we sell it, how you don't have to be afraid of this and that, and then you've got what's going on with Canada on top of it. So we'll get into more of that coming up in a little while, because we've got Taylor Riggs on. I can't wait to talk to her about that from the Fox Business Network. That's at 8:35. Derek Morgan is coming up next. He's, of course, with the Heritage Foundation. We're going to get to a couple of big issues with him, including the Department of Education, who's about to strip a law school of its accreditation over DEI. Seems like those moves have been long overdue. We will hear what Derek has to say about that. And also, of course, overnight we had the news out of South Carolina that Darlene Graham has won the primary down there, so she will move on and take on the Democrat, I don't even know her name, who's running in South Carolina, because that's how far ahead Graham will be from the minute this race starts. Trump was a big winner in South Carolina last time. That should not be a contested race. All right, right now I want us to get to our shortlist, Ethan, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
Darlene Graham winning the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate in South Carolina's special primary election.
And she now moves on. Ralph Norman, who she competed against, a lot of conservatives were convinced he was the choice, but he lost yesterday in that primary. They declared her the winner pretty early on.
How many points do you think you score in your first WNBA game against the number one team? How many?
You know what? I mean, I think I'm going to try to beat Will Chamberlain's record. I might go something like over 100 points for sure.
In a scanner, I assume that he's planning to go to court and try to force the WNBA to hire him or to rephrase their policy of allowing people that identify as women to play in the WNBA, right? But they said they wouldn't allow him to participate in the draft. My guess is legal action is coming.
A new Missouri law goes into effect on Friday that removes a barrier for divorce. Judges will no longer be able to block a divorce from happening in the state because a woman is pregnant.
Seems crazy that that was ever a thing, but apparently it is. Now they're claiming that while everybody seems to be happy they've changed it, the law may cause custody dispute complications on top of that. I don't know why nobody thought of that in advance, but that's where we are this morning.
He cannot win a trade war with the United States. So why start one? Why? The answer is he's not fighting the tariffs. Just as I have told you, with everyone on Earth right now, they are fighting the calendar.
Yep, Glenn Beck there with a great analysis of this Canada trade war. If you hear the media claim Canada has fired back at the United States in this trade war, give me a break. Give me a break. Canada is an ankle biter to the United States economy. If we quit trade with them tomorrow, most of you in the sound of my voice would not even know it. You'd not even notice it. Maybe your maple syrup price would go up a little bit at some point, but you wouldn't even notice it. This is about so much more than that, and Glenn Beck really summed it up well yesterday, because I had pointed out something similar to this, but he takes it even further. He's like, first of all, the Prime Minister of Canada, what he's doing here is trying to wait out the next 2 months, see if he can get through the next 10 weeks of sanctions in hopes that he can have an influence on the outcome of the midterms. I don't put Canada in the same category as Iran in terms of being an enemy. I don't think they're an enemy of the United States with ill intent. However, they're both depending on the Democrats to save them. The Iranians need the Democrats to save them, and the Canadians need the Democrats to save them. And what Carney is doing is exactly what any globalist would do. And he's working on behalf of the globalists to hurt the United States and try to defeat Donald Trump. He's even hired a lady that worked for Barack Obama, Kamala Harris, and Hillary Clinton to be one of his top aides in his attempt to hurt Donald Trump and America. And one of the ways he's trying to do it is by, and they admit it, targeting certain states that are going to be potentially decide the control of the United States Senate, like Maine. apparently the lobster trade with Quebec is pretty big. And if they, I guess if they stop buying the lobsters from Maine and blame it on Donald Trump, they're hoping they can help defeat Susan Collins up there. I mean, it's that involved. What's going on with Canada? It's far more than just about lumber and maple syrup. I can tell you that. Maybe aluminum. It's about a much bigger picture. It's time people start paying attention to that. I don't think enough people have learned that lesson. All right, coming up, we'll get to Derek Morgan. We'll find out more about the law school that might lose its accreditation because of its DEI programs. We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
The sister of the late Senator Lindsey Graham defeated Congressman Ralph Norman in Tuesday's GOP primary runoff. Graham thanked President Trump, who endorsed her.
Lindsey truly loved you and viewed you as one of his closest friends. I appreciate that bond and appreciate all that you've done for our country. Our victory would not have been possible without you, and we are truly grateful.
Now, Graham was appointed to her brother's seat last month by South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster.
Yeah, there you have it. That's the result, the big result from yesterday's round of around the country. Let me get to our guest this morning, Derek Morgan, back with us, Executive Vice President at the Heritage Foundation. Derek, any reaction to that win last night? I kind of felt like Ralph Norman was presenting her a little bit of a challenge there, but apparently not.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And Ralph's a really great guy. He's a true conservative stalwart here in the House of Representatives. So, you know, the people of South Carolina, they, you know, like a lot of people in the South, they tend, the family name means a lot and so forth. So I think we just take it and we move on.
I mean, is there any reason to be concerned after, you know, the debate performance and her seeming to not have a great grasp of foreign policy? Is there reason for concern there?
Well, South Carolina is a deep, deep red state. And look, the Senate does have an aspect of foreign policy in it, but you know, she'll get up to speed. I have no qualms about that. No problems. No
yeah,
concerns.
Well, that's good. That's good. You know, I was watching there on the DailySignal.com. I pay attention to this stuff. I talk about it all the time. I talk about how these schools are so woke and the indoctrination that they're submitting our children to when we send them off to college. And I just sent one off to undergrad, so I'm worried about that as well. But I saw where the Department of Education is looking at stripping a law school of accreditation.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're looking at, right, since 1952, the American Bar Association has kind of been the gatekeeper for accrediting law schools. And we started writing about this a few years ago. They have gone way left wing. You see that with their judicial nominees and so forth. You certainly see it with how they're using diversity, equity, and inclusion. In fact, they were pressuring law schools to use race as part of their admissions. And so they've shown that they can't be trusted with that gatekeeping authority. And the Department of Education is now making sure that they have to answer for their past misdeeds.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I think that's kind of how the system works here in Missouri in terms of selecting judges. They go through a panel from the Bar Association, people that have gotten the stamp of approval, and then they have to pick from those two or three candidates that they forward. And I mean, the result has been obvious because of the bias. There's no doubt about the bias that's existing in these law schools and in the Bar Association.
Yeah, that's right. And state Supreme Court can do something about it. They ultimately have control typically of bar admissions. They don't have to just do what the ABA says. So hopefully this will take the blinders off and people understand that the ABA, unfortunately, is an ideologically driven organization.
Yeah, let's hope so. Unless, of course, the Supreme Court is filled with ABA picks and then they're not going to do anything about it. It's too late at that point.
Good point.
Yeah, I know. Hey, by the way, the Gen Zers, we had a story on last week about sports gambling here in Missouri. And the complaint, of course, is that the gaming industry bought this issue onto our ballot and then they paid for ads to get it into our Constitution. So sports gambling is now part of the Missouri Constitution, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. And because the industry wrote the rules and they're in the Constitution, the legislature has no say over where the money goes, and what they set aside was $5 million a year to deal with sports gambling addictions. And the criticism is only about $500,000 of that has ever been spent. So now they've got $10 or $11 million has built up in this fund, and it's not being used because the industry doesn't report it, right? And nobody's using the money to fight it. What have you found out about Gen Z? What are they doing with their investment money these days?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the Daily Signal just had a piece on this, and it's really disturbing because sports gambling has exploded from about $5 billion in 2017. In 2018, the Supreme Court says, the federal law can't prohibit it. So it's at $165 billion now. You got 39 states in D.C. where it's legal. For Gen Z, 52% have made a, quote, investment, end quote, into sports betting. 26% say it's an ongoing component of their retirement planning. And I can tell you, like, retirementkey.com or any reputable company is not going to advise their clients to use sports betting when, Danny Funt, the Washington Post, he found 99 out of 100 people lose.
Wow. Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I don't know if we haven't educated them well or what. Now, that said, I do know through acquaintances some people that have indeed made money off of it. They seem to have figured out something, but the large majority of people, the house always wins, right?
That's right, and it's highly addictive, of course, and so you can win in the short term, and then you get that adrenaline going, you place bigger and bigger bets, and the house always wins, as they say. And long term, Danny Funt found 99 out of 100 lose in the long term.
That's amazing. I don't want to throw this on you at the last second. I got about a minute left. Do you think the sanctions against Iran are going to be effective?
Well, I think they will be effective to a point. They're going to try to tighten third-party countries from dealing with Iran. The key to look at there is on China, and that's going to be a tough nut to crack. We have some leverage over China, but they have some leverage over us, and how cooperative do they want to be here? I think they kind of like to see us a bit bogged down there, and they, of course, really do rely on that Iranian oil. So that's going to be the key, is to see how that develops over the coming weeks and months.
Let's hope so. Derek Morgan with the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org, dailysignal.com. Thank you, sir. Good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
All right, Derek, thank you. Love getting him on here and his analysis on these primaries and everything as well. All right, coming up, I talked about this earlier. How about social media these days? All you got to do is listen to what people tell you. Some of them apparently would like to throw one conservative out a tall window. We'll get to that when we can.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Come back. Nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, out of the loony left, particularly some of these NEA-supported board members and others, surprises me these days. It shouldn't. But even saying that, reading a social media message where there's a suggestion that a parent in a district should be thrown out of a window, and having board members liking that comment on social media should be cause for alarm. The board should have to address this, particularly out in the Francis Howell School District. And Lauren Greenwood is the target of all of this. She's a parent. She's the founder of Moms for Liberty. She ran as a candidate for the Francis Howell School Board. And Lauren is joining us on the show this morning. Lauren, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm sorry you're having to go through this. I think for background, we should kind of tell people how this got started. You were talking about an event coming up to alert people to what's going on in the district regarding neurodiversity. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So I run a FHSD school watch list on Facebook. So I encourage listeners, if they want to, have a know on what's going on in the Francis Howell School District, that's a good place to start. So they have different events. This one was a particular emotional learning program that had a mention of a lot of vendors, so I question what will those vendors be. This could be an opportunity that we need to keep a close eye on, making sure that we don't lose our parental rights and how our children are being educated and directed emotionally. And so that sparked another backlash. The school board members are the newly elected Sarah Dillard, the newly elected Jason Adams' wife, Wren, which is also the director of theater at a middle school at our Francis Howell. It's also related to the school directly. And then the third one was Jen Barr, Kurt Barr, the director of elections that just won, his wife, and she just won the committee woman in Cottleville. So these are all of our leadership in our community, and none of them condemned throwing me out of a window, or and they liked it. They commented it, and the fact that they're even over on this person's particular Facebook post is appalling.
Because you would dare to question all of the different afflictions that get grouped together under the term neurodiversity. I think if I picked up on this correctly, they were upset because of, you know, people with ADHD or autism that you know, maybe a few years back might not have been diagnosed, and all these people would be glad to throw you out a window because you dared to criticize this meeting where you described it. Just describe it for my listeners. What the term neurodiversity means? It's a sort of a progressive code word these days, isn't it?
It could be, and that's the only thing that I was trying to bring light to. Not even criticism, just a question. And who's going to be attending? You know, we need to make sure we understand what's on the agenda. And I never said anything about, you know, autism or ADHD. Nothing negative there. While at the same time, most of these individuals are saying that they probably have that, and that in the same breath, they're calling me mentally ill.
Yeah. I have you gotten any reaction from, I mean, I read some of the comments on here, and people just started piling on. The lefties in that school district are radical, I'd be concerned about the level of some of that language if I were you.
Yeah, and I am, but I also am here to encourage people to not be afraid to speak up. Because if we don't, these loud leftists are going to drown us out, and we're going to feel like we've lost our First Amendment right, and we're also going to completely lose what's happening in our school district. And our kids are worth it. We need to show up, we need to speak up, we need to stay engaged, because, yeah, they are bullies, and they're actually the mentally ill ones.
So is there a... is there an event coming up where people can go to learn more about this, or were you alerting people to the fact that they're having a meeting to highlight some of the neurodiversity programs available within the district?
I'd have to go back and look. I'm not sure if that was an internal meeting or if it was public. The post would be on FHSD school watch list.
Yeah.
It's probably a week or so old. You have to scroll down a little bit. And then the next school board meeting, I think they're usually the second Thursday of the month. I encourage patrons to sign up for comments and speak out and condemn this type of behavior, because you need to understand that the board and the superintendent, they are not going to speak out and help myself or any parents that are conservative. However, they will cave to pressure. So the more people that show up, the more media attention they get, that makes them uncomfortable. So that's unfortunately the only thing that's going to work. And then, yeah, get on Moms for Liberty. We've started a St. Charles chapter, so momsforliberty.org.
Well, they need to be made uncomfortable. I hope somebody or a number of people will go to this board meeting and just maybe demand an apology. Don't you think?
I hope so.
You think that would be in line?
Yeah. Because where does this keep going? It's escalating, so it needs to be silenced and put in its place.
Yeah,
not appropriate. Yeah.
At the very least, Sarah Dillard should be willing to step up and apologize for liking something where a parent is being threatened with violence. I mean, honestly, I don't know that anybody intended to throw you out of a window, but to suggest that you should be thrown out of a window because your point of view is different than theirs.
Right. That doesn't sound like love is love to me, does it?
It does not, oddly enough. And I think the other thing, and Lauren, that they're a bit afraid of, is what's going to happen in 2028 now that we can move these school board elections to a general election time frame in November, where in a deep red county, we have more voters who turn out. I mean, it's a failure that they don't turn out in April, but they do seem to turn out in November in most cases, and 2028 will be the first test of that.
Yes, I want to keep encouraging people to remember that. I know it's a ways out, but that will be our last saving grace, because it's a full Liberal board now up until then. So this is the only way to right this ship. In the meantime, we do need to keep speaking out, because the community is allowing this to happen as a whole. So we're all responsible.
That's a great point. Are you considering running again at some point? Would you?
I am. Yeah, I haven't. You know, it's not really always been my dream thing to do. It's definitely super challenging, but I care enough, not about just my own children, but everyone else's. And I do not believe that the direction this is going is healthy for them. And unfortunately, it's going to end up being a complete mental hospital, because we're catering to some very wildly inappropriate things, specifically the gender ideology and lack of discipline and behavior issues at our school.
Yeah. And as we've pointed out before, you're not going to get pushback on that from the superintendent. You're not going to get pushback on that from the Liberal principals and top administrators. And if the school board is not the one bringing it up, then it doesn't get addressed, except potentially ignored in the public comments section of the school board meetings.
Correct. Yep. It's up to us.
Well, Lauren Greenwood, I'm sorry for what you're going through and all this. I hope I'll try to pay attention. And when is the next school board meeting? Do you know?
I haven't seen it listed. It's usually anywhere from the 14th to the 17th of each month Thursday.
So people would have an opportunity to go and check that out in the month of September at least, and maybe see if we can get an apology from these people for what's happened here.
Yeah. I'll post it on my FHSD school watch list on Facebook, and then the school also has a YouTube channel that shows when it's coming up about a week prior, and I think it starts at 7 p.m.
Yeah. Lauren, thanks for all you're doing. Thanks for being willing to stand up for the kids.
I appreciate it. Have a great one.
You bet. You too. Lauren Greenwood there, parent out in the Francis Howell School District. Just nasty. As somebody pointed out here, love is love as long as you agree with them, right? They preach that you need to be tolerant, and they are the least tolerant people on earth if you disagree with them. They will run you out of business. They'll run you off the air. They'll run you out of town. Apparently, they'll like posts where people threaten to throw you out windows. The love is love crowd. I mean, honestly, it's nasty. If you go on and read some of the comments that were made on here about that woman who I just talked to, that personal, completely reasonable parent in the district who raises a simple concern over some training that's coming up, and they somebody tweets that she should be pitched out a window for daring to think that. I mean, honestly. The people that are in the district need to pay attention. I hope you're paying attention. And I hope in the next round of school board elections in 2028, for sure, we have an opportunity to right that ship and to get some common sense on there and get some people who are going to have common sense bathroom policies and make sure men aren't changing in your daughter's locker rooms. That common sense is not common, folks. It's not. It's a term we throw around a lot, but there is nothing common about common sense these days. It's taken a backseat to some of these liberal progressive policies, and you see it nationally with this Abdul al-Sayed. You see it locally in how it works its way out in some of these local school board issues. It's crazy, for sure. All right, coming up, we still got Jimmy Failla. Love getting him back on. He's been off. He was off last week. We'll get him back in here at about 8:20. Taylor Riggs on the Anaconda comment that the Ambassador Sands made yesterday. I thought it was a great point on what we're trying to do right now to Iran and just how effective that's going to be. We'll get to that at about 8:35. Stay tuned. Well, I should say this segment brought to you by Gloria Liu, your home sold guaranteed realty, because I got this report on housing sales in St. Louis. And what would you guess Ethan, if you had to, if you just based on your perceptions of how St. Louis is doing compared to the rest of the country,
as far as growth, or
well, just in terms of home sales, like up, down, home values, what do you think?
Stagnant. I know home values have gone up. At least mine has.
I was surprised to read that home sale values, home sales and values have gone up in the St. Louis area. There's a housing report out by homes.com for sale prices in the month of July. Average sale price for a home in St. Louis. You want to guess what it is?
$310,000.
Very good. $310,000. And out of the top 30 markets, roughly, that I'm looking at on here, you want to guess where the most expensive average sales price was in the country?
I know you're wanting me to say something like
San Francisco.
Los Angeles or something.
The median house price in San Francisco was $1.55 million.
Good God.
In San Jose, $1.547 million. In L.A., $925,000. And it goes down. St. Louis is way down the list in terms of affordable housing. At 300 and, let's see, Kansas City is at 371. St. Louis is at 310. So the median house price sale in Kansas City is $50,000 higher than it is here. 60,000 almost. And we get beat only by Oklahoma City at 280, Cleveland, Ohio at 279, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at 273. So those are median house prices. So a lot, some were a lot more, some were a lot less, but the middle was $310,000. I thought that was pretty surprising. It also showed that values, sale prices were up in July by 3.7% and up overall for the year. I don't know why this took me by. I mean, everybody, as I say when I talk about Glory Lou all the time, everybody has their own perception of how things are going right now. There's still an inventory problem, but home values are up on average of $14,000 this year. If I'm reading the statistics here correctly, St. Louis medium home sale prices rose by $10,978 year over year to a nominal basis of $310,000 for the month. And the median home sale price in St. Louis increased by 3.7% year over year, which means if you're in your home, the value of your home went up 3.5% since last year, which is still pretty significant growth. Despite what you're told and battered by the mainstream media in this country, despite interest rates maybe not being where we'd all like them to be. You know, those days of 2% and 3% interest rates. God, don't you wish you could go back and take advantage of that? I mean, honestly, the time to have bought a investment property or something would have been 10 years ago, quite frankly. And for, you know, if you didn't, if you missed that opportunity, there's still tremendous growth in the value of homes in the greater St. Louis area, in the sound of my voice. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, as you're told by the pundits. So I wanted to point that out. You can probably go to homes.com and look that up. I'm sure they would love the publicity of getting a bunch of people to sign on there and look at it. But they break it down by market. So that's the St. Louis housing market. You can go through and look at what's going on across the country as well. But like inventory, it shows close to 10,000 homes on the market. And the sale-to-list price, people are getting 98.8% of their listing price in the sales of homes right now. That's pretty significant. I think that's higher. So it's not going for 110 like it was during COVID, maybe, when everybody was scrambling to buy a house. People aren't way overpaying. but you're getting your market value out of it. And the average time on the market is 42 days. So anyway, homes.com is that report. I thought it was kind of interesting. Maybe we need to get to Gloria on here to talk about that just a little bit more. All right, coming up, Jimmy Failla. Can't wait to get James on here to get. I wonder if he ever met Dolly Parton. I don't know if he did or not, but I'm anxious to get his thoughts on her passing yesterday. Taylor Riggs with more on these economic sanctions that are going on against Iran. Maybe what it's going to do to gas prices and what it's going to do to the economy over there if they're truly already rationing food in Iran. And we're going to talk to my friend Holly Klassner with the Focus Marines Foundation. We're going to be benefiting them when we take the show live on 9/11 down in Eureka. We'll talk more about it at 8:45. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.